You and I look a bit lonely up here, don't we? Good to go. All right, good evening. Time being 5:30, I'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's meeting. My name is Paula Reid, Mayor of Kingborough, and it is my pleasure to welcome everyone here on Monday the 7th of November 2022. Welcome to those in the public gallery this evening. It's a pleasure to have you here, and also to those people who are watching along at home via YouTube. Being 5:30pm, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. In accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the recording has started.
Confirm, Mayor.
Thank you. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of this land, pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, and Councillor Richardson. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee. Our Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Fox, is just stuck in traffic and should be with us shortly. We also have our Manager, Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, our Communications and Engagement Support Officer, Ms Klein, our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We do have apologies this evening, and they were very sincere apologies. They are both unwell, from the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, and also from Councillor Street. Before we do start the proceedings, I did just want to, as this is the first meeting of the new council, I just wanted to congratulate everybody on their election, and indeed congratulate everybody who stood at this election for the way that they represented themselves to the community. We have six continuing councillors and we have four new councillors, so I'd particularly like to welcome Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Dean and Councillor Richardson to your very first meeting of the Kingborough Council. I hope that we can all work collectively together. I think there were some really good remarks made by candidates at the declaration of office last week, where we all talked about wanting to work together for the betterment of the community, and I think that's something that we all sincerely do hold, and I do hope that we can do so collaboratively and with representing our communities to the best that we possibly can. So congratulations and welcome, and we will hope that things go smoothly from here on, but importantly that we can really work for our community. So, we are now on page one, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting number 20, held on the 17th of October 2022, be confirmed as a true record. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please.
So move.
Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried. Workshops held since the last Council meeting. We did not have a workshop last Monday evening. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor or any staff member have a declaration of interest? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a declaration of interest for item 15.5, community grants, and I will be leaving the room for that one, recusing myself from the debate, and then also one in closed session relating to item 21.3, community awards. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No other councillors? Mr Smee.
Mayor, I also have a
comment. Oh, sorry.
Also,
beg your pardon,
just would like to state the community grants as well. The Blackmans Bay Progress Association did speak to me about that grant before applying.
But you will not be leaving.
But I won't be leaving the room.
Thank you. And Mr. Smee.
Thank you, Mayor. I also wish to declare a conflict of interest in relation to item 15.5. The Woodbridge Cricket Club had a grant application. I'm a member of the Grants Assessment Panel. I declared that interest and played no part in the assessment of that application.
Thank you very much. We move now to page two, transfer of agenda items. Are there any items on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public wish to ask a question on notice? Without notice, sorry. Thank you. If you could just state your name and suburb for the record before you ask your question, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Mel O'Keefe and I reside in Electrona. My first question tonight, could you please advise approximately how many GIS, or Global Information System staff, that are working with Kingborough Council?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. The answer to your question is that we have one staff member working in that field.
Thank you. I appreciate that the local provision schedule is a draft only currently. Nonetheless, could you please advise the approximate number of properties proposed for LCZ and the total number of hectares? And if this information is not to hand, could it please be taken on notice? Having studied GIS myself at University of Tasmania, I estimate this will take a GIS officer 5 minutes to extract this information.
Ms. Tullamore, did you want to take that on notice? Yeah, we'll take that on notice.
Yeah, thank you very much. Recognising that vegetation reduction is in conflict with LCZ, has any modelling been undertaken to assess the change in bushfire risk that will result from the proposed wide-scale rezoning to LCZ?
Ms. Tullamore.
And through you, Mayor, specifically to bushfire risk, no, it hasn't.
Thank you. Is Council familiar with the content of the... Sorry, this is a mouthful. The fire Southern Fire Management Area Bushfire Risk Management Plan that was issued by the State Fire Management Council in January of 2021.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I don't specifically, but we do have several staff who are involved specifically with bushfire matters, and I would be confident that they would be aware of it.
Okay, thank you. The previously mentioned report contains a risk assessment, and within that are numerous areas of Kingborough that have been assessed as having an extreme fire risk with a consequence rating of major, which is one below the most severe, which is catastrophic. The majority of these areas have also been proposed for significant application of LCZ. My question is this. The report identifies vegetation reduction as a strategic mitigation strategy. However, vegetation reduction is in conflict with LCZ. How does Council propose to mitigate the extreme bushfire risk to residents of these areas?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. Bushfire is dealt with in the planning scheme only in two parts, really. It's dealt with if it's an application for subdivision or if it's a vulnerable use such as a hospital, and there are other uses listed in there. Otherwise, it's dealt with under the Building Act 2016, where it has requirements for BAL assessments that needs an approval from TFS or a bushfire practitioner, and it includes things such as clearing of vegetation to protect the house or other methods such as firefighting equipment or setup, or also to do with the materials of a building or houses. It also has limitations about setbacks of outbuildings near the houses to try and reduce the risk. So all those BAL requirements are throughout the country. It's not limited to Tasmania. And that's where the bushfire assessments are undertaken. A planning permit wouldn't prohibit the implementation of a BAL assessment.
Thank you. Given that the BAL ratings are a relatively new requirement, how are properties that have existed prior to that requirement, how are they protected?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, that's up to the residents that own the dwellings. There's no retrospective requirement put on by the federal government that people have to then achieve a BAL. If a person is to modify their house, including change of use, or they do an extension as an example, then they will need to meet the BAL requirements for that. But there's not a retrospective requirement for them to do that.
Thank you. Considering that properties can impact the fire risk to other properties, and I understand that council can issue an abatement notice to require neighbouring properties to reduce vegetation risk to, for the benefit of neighbouring properties. How is this managed in that you're saying that it is up to the property owner, however it's not always vegetation on the property owner's own land that puts them at risk?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. Living in rural, non-urban areas, in bush areas, any part of Australia, including Tasmania, comes with risk of bushfire. That's part of our natural environment, unfortunately, and it's a risk that needs to be taken. The bow requirements are for the property themselves. There are occasions where a bow requirement, such as vegetation clearing, can occur on the neighbouring property. It's something we discourage and is something that I would discouraged generally beyond Kingborough as well, because you don't know that they're going to maintain the requirements, you don't know the owner's not going to change, you don't know they're not going to put another risk. So a bow should be contained within the site, same as the requirement. We have a policy which has been approved by council that bow requirements are not to occur on council land. You cannot rely on council land and you must contain it within your own site. So if you need to modify your design to achieve that, so you may not have the house exactly with the sight line that you like, then you may need to modify it anyway to achieve your bow. Control of other people's land or bushfire risk onto another property is advised through those assessments initially, because the neighbouring properties are looked at as part of the TFS requirements, but there is not a requirement to then go onto someone else's land and remove vegetation, and it's probably an unrealistic expectation that all vegetation around any dwelling is going to be removed. And I think that's really important where that conversation is about appropriate development and appropriate subdivisions where there are bushfire risks or there's coastal erosion risks or there's inundation risks. There's many risks that are posed on properties, and that's where the planning scheme acts to try and find that balance between those natural occurrences or natural risks. So as we say to people, not every site is definitely suitable for the development and not suitable for development that everyone ideally has, because that needs to be put into balance of what it is, and that's part of the consideration, and there are bushfire-prone area overlays that are applied in the scheme as well.
Just in relation to that, just to clarify, council can, with an abatement notice, require other property owners to reduce vegetation risk. That's certainly in a bushfire management plan that I had prepared. It states that, and it provides the provision under the Local Government Act for council to require that vegetation to be reduced.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, my department doesn't deal with the abatement notices. It's done under the Compliance Department. My understanding is that abatement notices have limitations about where they can and can't be applied, but as I'm not the area expert, I can't answer the question in detail.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I will just redirect the answer to that to Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, broadly speaking, you are correct. Council can issue an abatement notice requiring a neighbouring property to reduce the hazard.
Thank you. The report that I made reference to, wherein a number of areas, rather, within Kingborough have been assessed as having an extreme fire risk, would council give consideration, please, to having their GIS officer overlay the properties proposed for LCZ over the top of the extreme fire risk areas? This is a very straightforward task for a GIS officer under 10 minutes.
Ms. Tullamore.
It's something that can be provided.
Terrific, thank you. Would take that on notice? Is that?
We've made a note of it.
Thank you. In the Kingborough Land Use Strategy, it notes that extensive areas of environmental living will need to be rezoned as LCZ or RLZ, and that this will result in significant changes across the municipality. When the draft was endorsed in December of 2019, the councillor who moved the motion asked that staff speak to the matter because they did not feel professionally able to, and I have two questions in relation to this. To understand the LPS in its entirety, were two workshops of 90 minutes adequate to provide councillors with sufficient in-depth knowledge of the LPS, their significant zone changes and the impacts that they will bring in order to vote? And secondly, did Council undertake any measures to assess the councillors' depth of understanding of this complex matter before requiring them to vote? For example, any feedback forms, assessments or otherwise?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. The workshop format the Council has allows an open discussion about the subject matter. So there was discussion certainly during those. In addition to that, there's always an offer, as we have just done with our recently elected members, to hold further discussions with them, either in a private session or a group session. That was offered, I can't recall, it was a long time ago now,
yes.
About whether it did or didn't happen. So there were the two sessions. The councillors, if they don't feel comfortable, it's their responsibility to ask the questions. We certainly offer it. We don't expect elected members necessarily to be complete planning experts or to be able to know every detail. They do rely on officers' recommendations for that. If the councillors wish to have further workshops, which they will have workshops for two reasons. One, that it was a long time ago that we did the LPS draft, and secondly, we have a new council, so we will be running additional workshops for them to understand that. And insofar as your question about assessments of elected members' ability to understand or process or make a valid decision, that's not for myself to make any comment about what the process is and about that of councillors understanding any subject matter.
Thank you. In the questions without notice, Ms Jo Langdon posed some questions that are at 10.2 of the meeting pack. A part of one of the questions appears to have been overlooked, and that is she requested the topics covered in the workshops. Could this please be taken on notice and the information supplied?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, we can take it on notice.
Thank you. My last question. On the Council's webpage relating to the draft LPS, it speaks to environmental living zone and does not provide any information in relation to rural living zone or indeed the low density residential properties that have been proposed to be transferred to LCZ. Similarly, there is not any information in relation to the changed, reduced or lost uses for the property is moving to propose to move to LCZ, which extends far beyond the approvals pathway. Is Council intending to update the page to include such information?
Ms Tullamore.
And through you, Mayor. Yeah, absolutely we are. LCZ and ELZ is certainly not the only matter or the only interest of our municipality, so there will be information sheets on all of them. And they will be prepared and placed on there closer to the time of public exhibition. And that is only for the reason of once we've had the post-lodgement conferences with the TPC, the Tasmanian Planning Commission, as to whether in the right direction we'll put all that information up. Certainly we can answer questions as we do. We have a lot of incoming inquiries, certainly not just about LCZ. We have it about the business zone and the general residential zones and some of the SAPs as well. So there's a whole range of things. We do have the intention, we have a consultation plan, which the councillors will be run through again in their workshop, and there will be comparisons because they're not all going from, as an example, ELZ to LCZ. And sorry for the acronyms for the new... the newly elected members are happy to run through that. I'm happy to describe it if you want me to. But it's not just that, so we can't just get caught up on just one because there's a particular interest on that, but we do intend to have a comparison.
Apologies, sorry.
We do intend to have comparisons.
Yeah, okay. No, this part of the website specifically relates to LCZ, so it would be really good to have some information there for people outside of environmental living, for example, the rural living zone and the low-density residential properties that have been proposed to move across because it is silent on those at the moment. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else... Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to note that the...
Sorry, even
sorry.
Though I know who you could you please state your name and suburb?
Michael Rowan, Birches Bay.
Thank you.
I note that the 27th Conference of the Parties of the UN Framework Commission on the Committee on Climate Change is meeting very shortly in Egypt, and the news before the meeting is that the Earth is currently on track to reproduce the climate of the Pliocene some 3 to 5 million years ago, where the temperature was 3 to 4 degrees hotter and sea levels were between 5 and 40 metres higher than they are today. The G7 describes this as an existential threat to civilisation. I wonder, I'd be very interested in the answer to the question, when Kingborough Council is proposing new capital works, does the Council endeavour to calculate what the carbon footprint of that capital work will be? For example, the two new capital works I drove past on my way to the meeting this evening were a new footpath in Woodbridge and a new road in Jamella Road in Margate, both of which have extensive concrete curving, where a lower carbon footprint option may well have been available. Thank you.
I would like to take that. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, a simple answer to that is no, we don't put that in our calculations. It's certainly something that could be considered in the future, but at the moment we don't.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of the public? If not, thank you very much. And for those who are watching along at home, you can email a question to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au and that will be placed on notice. Speaking of which, we have three questions on notice on tonight's agenda paper. The first is from Ms Hill in relation to local food vans, with an officer's response from Ms Swords. The next one is from Ms Landon in relation to the local provision schedule, with an officer response from Mr Stander. And the third is from Ms O'Keefe in relation to landscape conservation zoning, with a response from Mr Stander. We now move to page 4, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice? I've got Councillor Cordover and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. My first question is about, and just while I find that, let me also welcome all the new members that we have. It's great to see all of them here today. My first question is about Blackmans Bay Beach and seawall planning. Please may we have an update about the time frame for potential replacement or repair of the footpath and the construction of a seawall at Blackmans Bay Beach? And more broadly, what are the plans for erosion control at Blackmans Bay Beach?
Anyone? Mr. Smee can help us with that one.
Through you, Mayor, we have commissioned a report that has done an assessment of the risk posed in relation to the coastal erosion that's occurring there. That has provided us with some options. At this stage, we haven't committed to any of those options. The path is currently stable and we are monitoring that. So we don't have a locked-in plan, but we do have options available to us to consider. But our primary action at this stage is simply to monitor the situation, and if it appears to be worsening, then we do have the information available to act.
Can I just clarify, Councillor Cordover, are you talking about the Suncoast track or actually at Blackmans Bay Beach alongside the beach?
My understanding was that there was plans for a repair or replacement of some of the footpath at the southern end of the beach and potentially a seawall at that location, but I'm not familiar with the plans for the exact location of the seawall.
Thank you.
My second question, through you, Mayor, is about the... it relates to the annual report. It mentions in the annual report the tourism marketing strategy. So it's page 24 of the annual report. It actually appears in this agenda on page 75. Yeah. It says that Destination Southern Tasmania, the Huon Valley Council and the tourism industry will work together to develop a tourism marketing strategy for the region south of Hobart, and that this project is, quote, ongoing. So my question is there any update on an expected timeframe for that piece of work? And when it is completed, how will we determine if it's been a success or value for money?
Dr. Fox, are you able to help us with this one, please?
Okay. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take it on notice, Councillor. While I have been very much engaged with Destination Southern Tasmania over a couple of years now, I'm not quite sure where that project's at, so I'll have to come back to you on that.
That's okay. Thank you for that. My penultimate question is about the local historic heritage code. Apparently that's an ongoing piece of work as well. So this is the idea of preparing a local historic heritage code to protect the historic cultural heritage significance of places, precincts and landscapes. Is there any update on where that's at? And again, when it is completed, what kind of community consultation or feedback? What's that community engagement process? Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, there's an existing heritage code within the planning scheme which lists properties. It is most certainly due for update. So when we go to the new planning scheme, it will have some updates in terms of details of the existing listings. There is definitely work to be done in terms of new listings, and some work had been started, but due to resourcing, we have not been able to proceed that project.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, final question. The re-elected Lord Mayor Anna Reynolds in Hobart City Council will promote Hobart on the world stage this month when she speaks at the COP27 Climate Change Summit in Egypt that we've just heard about from a question from the audience from the gallery today. Does Kingborough have any plans to leverage the COP conference by sharing information about our climate action initiatives in the wake of the COP conference, or are we doing any kind of activation around the COP27 conference? Obviously, I doubt that anybody's going over there to Egypt.
I can assure you nobody from here is travelling to Egypt.
Okay.
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. The short answer to your question, Councillor Cordova, is no. However, that said, as you know, through our Hobart City Deal partnership, we are in regular contact with the Lord Mayor and the CEO of the City of Hobart, and we'll be seeking whatever material they're able to access at that conference and make that available to councillors.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have quite a few questions, but I have sent them prior, so...
Thank you.
The first one relates to the Snug Hall. So there has been a number of maintenance matters that have been identified for the Snug Hall. Wondering if there is a plan, and in particular the items are the toilets are in need of painting, the glass and window frames on three sides of the hall are old and do not open. The glass in the window frames is very thin and they're concerned that they won't meet the current window standards. Are there any plans for soundproofing the hall, as it's very echoey and the kitchen is in need of an upgrade, and evidently the overhead heaters do not heat the space in winter and the playgroup stop using the hall in winter? So I'm wondering what the plans are for these upgrades, please.
Thank you. Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Council has a community hall strategy, and that strategy was prepared on the basis of undertaking a condition assessment on all of our halls. So that was done in relation to Snug. The strategy also included surveys of our hall management committees and users to identify the key priorities. So in relation to Snug, the key priorities that came out were indeed the kitchen upgrade and the heating. The acoustics has been something that's been raised with council more recently. The strategy does identify a upgrade of the heating and the kitchen in 2023-24, so that will comprise of a capital bid, and I am also intending to lodge a capital bid for acoustic panelling to address the sound issues that have been raised, so they will appear as a capital bid for next financial year. The other items appear to be maintenance related, which can be passed on to our building maintenance unit. However, if they are found to be in excess of $5,000, they will also need to form the basis of a capital bid.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you very much. Snug Beach foreshore questions. So currently there are no shower heads in the toilets on the Snug Beach foreshore, and the community has also noticed that there's a bay there to wash the kayaks, and wondering if there could be some outside showers, since the popularity in cold water swimming is happening.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. So we also have a public toilet strategy, and the Snug toilet, public toilet facilities have been identified as next on the list as a priority for upgrading. So once again, that will come forward in the Capital Works program for next financial year, and the issue of provision of shower heads, outdoor showers, etc., can form part of the consideration for the design of that upgrade.
Thank you. Will there be recycling bins located at Snug Beach?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. At the moment, one of the problems we're having with our public place bins is getting the delivery of the new trucks for the new service that KWS is actually taking on board there. So at the moment there, we only have the older vehicle for the mainland, and we've still got the contractor actually operating on Bruny Island, which does mean that we're fairly limited in terms of pickups for recycling, which is one of the reasons why you may have noticed that the recycling bins have yet to go down in Blackmans Bay. So we are waiting the trucks, which have been purpose-built to actually pick up both the waste and the recycling separately. At this stage there, even though it keeps getting pushed out by the supplier there, we're still thinking it's probably about March until we actually receive carriage of those trucks. At that stage, we can then start to look at the bigger picture there as to where we might want to have additional recycling bins, which can include Snug.
Thank you very much. Question about TAS water. So in regards to with the heavy rains and perhaps failing pump stations, does council get notified of failing pump stations in Kingborough, and what constitutes a major spillage?
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor, I'm not sure that the exact threshold for the spillage. I know that Taswater does inform us about particular problem ones. So Woodbridge would be an example of that one, where we've had meetings with Taswater before, where there's been some issues with that particular facility. They don't inform us routinely about every spillage, but we do have a fairly close relationship with Taswater, so even if it's after the piece, we quite often do get that information.
Great, thank you. The park and rides and bicycle parking, do we know the plan for ensuring the bicycle parking at both Huntingfield and Firthside will have better security systems?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. At this stage, I'm unaware if Department of State Growth intend to actually improve what they've actually put there, bearing in mind it's fairly open and we rely on people to actually bring their own bike locks to actually obviously secure that. So for those who have got the more expensive bikes these days, it may not be as palatable for them to actually do that. But I have asked officers to actually query this with State Growth.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions about the annual report. On page 37 of the annual report, and apologies I didn't send this prior, I noted there was going to be a climate report card, and I'm wondering if on page 37 of that, is that sort of a bit of a summary of that? Apologies, I didn't send that one through. It's maybe 60-something in the actual agenda.
Yeah, that's what I'm just struggling
sorry.
With. Yeah, I've got it electronically.
60,
so.
Yes, sorry, I looked at it.
Yes, it's a brief summation.
Page 73, sorry. So climate change.
It's a brief summation of the snapshot of the report card.
Okay. Can I just ask a further question about that? So there was a discussion and a question about a climate report card being included. I'm wondering if there is going to be anything further.
Dr. Fox.
Thank you. My understanding is that officers at the moment are looking at a climate report card. They're looking at other jurisdictions to see what's been done and what we might do for Kingborough. It is at that very early stage. We haven't yet formalised what we'll put forward, but we are investigating it, yes.
Great. Thank you very much. And sorry, I didn't write the page number down for this one, but it's 1.4.2 in regards to the actions. There was Progress Development Alternative Energy Precinct for Beretta. I'm wondering if there's any further information regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the
General
actions.
Manager.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Our retiring manager was chasing up that company. I'll have to take the question on notice.
Is that all, Councillor Midgley? Okay, then next in order I've got Councillor Dean and then Councillor Antoli. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, I just have the two questions. I know Taroona residents are very excited and eagerly awaiting the completion of the new Louisa Hinsby playground development. I recognise the weather hasn't been kind to us of late, but I'm just wondering if we have an expected completion date for that project.
Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I would hope, weather permitting, that within the month we could complete that work. Yeah.
And my second question. On September 29, a joint letter was sent to Council signed by all 18 Kingborough sports clubs that are affected by Council's new sports ground user fees policy. In short, that letter outlined how clubs are open to a fee structure being introduced, yet clubs have felt left out of that consultation process that Council undertook when developing the policy, and have concerns about the policy's potential risk to sport participation in our community. Is it possible to give clubs a response to that letter, and more specifically, given the clubs are hoping to meet with Council, is it possible to outline when and how such a meeting might take place?
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Certainly, yes, that letter was received when we were just going, it was during the election period as we were going into caretaker mode. But I have given an undertaking that we would meet with representatives of the club. In speaking with the General Manager, Mr Smee, today, we will be holding a workshop for councillors next Monday evening, the 14th of November, so that particularly the new councillors can come up to date with the history of the issue and look at the reports and so on. Oh, sorry, 28th, beg your pardon, sorry, 14th is taken with LCZ, 28th of November, and then we hope to have a meeting with the sporting clubs at a workshop time. Probably, I think we were looking at around the 12th of December, but we'll just need to confirm that. We will need to work out then who comes from those groups, because it's obviously not tenable to have 16 clubs represented at a meeting. So we'll leave it up to those members to decide who will attend that. But certainly we would welcome the opportunity to sit down and listen to their concerns and see if we can work out a more workable way forward. Thank you. No further questions, Councillor Dean? No. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like someone to please update me on the plan to improve the road on Bruny Island where it veers off to the left to Adventure Bay. So when you come down the main road, instead of turning right to Alona, you turn left to Adventure Bay, especially given that there's a large and well-serviced caravan park there. It's pretty treacherous. It's a notorious road, and I've received a lot of requests from the locals about what is the plan there. Someone could refresh me or update me on that.
Mr Reeve, looks like he's got his thinking cap on there.
Through you, Mayor, there's been a couple of projects that we've done over a couple of years down on Adventure Bay Road, so I don't know if there was some specific areas along that area that you were referring to. So part of the works we've actually done are in a couple of areas there where there's been some concerns with some slippage in the road, and also where we've done some localised widening as well at the same time. So at this stage there wasn't anything else that's actually in the five-year plan, but happy to take on board if there's some particular locations there that people have actually raised.
The feedback is that the road is exceptionally narrow around corners, especially with caravans. I noticed that even recently I was there with my family on a holiday with our caravan, and it was pretty hairy, and you get a good chiropractic treatment when you actually travel through that road, for anyone that's familiar, and there's a lot of complaints about that, especially given that there's a very popular caravan park there and that you have to sort of come the opposite direction from some pretty big rigs that tend to swerve over onto your side because they're terrified going over the edge.
Mr Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I mean, there will be some limitations there just due to the topography of that area there. But it has been assessed before in terms of all the various different bibs and bobs down through that road there and what can be done. But happy to have a look at it again and see whether or not there's any possibilities of doing any further work in some of the more narrow points along there.
Could I be provided with some sort of a plan or an update or a timeline or a roadmap of what that there might be in terms of remediating that road? And secondly, are we entitled, given that it's a high traffic tourist area, to get any federal or state funding to assist us to upgrade it?
Mr. Reid.
Three, Mayor. In terms of funding, unlikely. There is grant funds that actually do come forward to council from time to time. So Roads to Recovery is an example of one. There's also been the local community funding as well. It's been came through the COVID period, so they do come up every now and again. But to be blunt, they tend to actually be looking at sort of new projects as compared to existing projects. So it makes it a little bit difficult for those ones. In terms of a time frame, yes, we can certainly assess that and provide some information as to what, if any, works would be required in that area, and provide that back to council. But that one would need to go on the list with lots of the other work that we're actually doing at the moment.
Sure.
As well.
Thank you. Once I get that list, am I allowed to share that timeline with some of the local community leaders there, or is that considered some sort of commercial in confidence?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. No, certainly in intending to actually answer your question, I'd be happy if that was a question that was put in the public open agenda, and I'm happy to actually provide a full answer to that question within that public open agenda, in which case I have no problems with you serving, having that discussion with other people on the island.
Thank you. Thanks,
thank
Mayor.
Thank you for checking. It's always wise. I next have Councillor Bain and then Councillor Midgley again.
Just had a couple of questions on some topics that came up during the council elections. First one is regarding pedestrian crossings at Margate and Snug. It was mentioned quite frequently. My understanding is this is a state government 2021 election commitment. So my question is, has council received any updates or had any discussions with state growth regarding progress to date and possible timeframes for these projects?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, Mayor, we certainly have had discussions in the past with Department of State Growth, and it's one that we're actually following up with them at the moment as to whether there's any further progress from their side. We certainly agree that there is a couple of points in both those areas there that would actually benefit from having some better crossing points. Margate in particular gets very busy in peak times, very difficult to cross the road in particular areas there. We have looked in the past at actually trying to put an additional crossing down somewhere near the post office. Didn't really get the local community support for that at the time there, but it's certainly something that's we want to pursue in that area there to try and make it a little bit safer for people to access across that section of road.
Thank you. Councillor Bain, further question?
Yeah, my second question was, has council received any further updates regarding the bus shelter upgrade program that's being run by the Department of State Growth?
So we did have a workshop about this some time ago, and that gave us an overview of the entire project. It's certainly been an extensive project, and it did have the Margate bus shelter at number 3 of a list of, I think there's something like 216 bus stops, bus shelters that we have in the municipality, and I think there was about 80 to 90 of them that had been flagged for upgrade, and they've been assessed on a range of things. It was primarily to look at issues around accessibility of the bus stops and safety, but obviously shelter is one as well. There are some bus stops where there are issues in achieving what I would describe as chair of the Access Committee as full accessibility because of telegraph poles or other geographical hazards. So it's certainly that work, the design work is starting very shortly, and it's underway, and that's number 3, and I know that that's something that the community have certainly been raising many, many times.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley, did you have another question?
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question in closed session.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Questions on notice from councillors on page 5. There were no questions on notice. Petitions still being actioned. There were no petitions being actioned. And there were also no petitions that were received in the last period. We turn now to page 5, Officers' Reports to Council, Certificate of Election, with a recommendation on page 6. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. We've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox, did you want to say anything?
This is a democratic process which has taken place, and congratulations to those people who've been elected. I don't think I need to say anything more, except this is a formality, and it's good to see this in the public record. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Anybody else like to make any comments? If not, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Turning now to page 8, Appointment to Council Special Committees, with a recommendation on page 9. Probably need somebody to move to discuss before we, because we will need to just call for some nominations, so we don't have a recommendation at the moment. Councillor Midgley, you're moving to discuss, and Councillor Cordova is seconding that. So the motion is that the matter be discussed. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. So the way this is going to go, to hopefully make it as seamless as possible, we have a number of committees that need to be filled following the election. There is a list in the recommendations at page 9. So that we have indicated at A, B, C and A, B and C that the general rule of thumb is that it is the mayor's that is the representative for those three bodies. So if everyone is happy with that, we are looking for proxies, though. So I'm going to take them one by one. Do we have...
Mayor, can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Because we have two councillors not here, have we checked?
Yep, we have. I was just about to say that. Councillor Street has indicated he does not wish to nominate for any committees, but I have some nominations from Councillor Gladewright. So if I can start with the Local Government Association, we're looking for... a proxy there, and Councillor Gladewright has indicated that she would like to put herself forward as my proxy in the event that I'm unable to attend that. Are there any other nominations for that position? No? Okay. All right. So we don't need an election for that.
Mayor, yes. I have a question.
Yes?
It doesn't state in this document that the appointments are for 2 years only.
General Manager.
Yep.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Fox, you may recall that following the 2018 elections, we had a very similar report to this because I wrote it. At that particular meeting, the councillor that moved after the discussion, the councillor that moved the recommendation added that the appointments be for a 2-year term. The thinking at that time was that that would enable a mid-term of office reconsideration, given that we now know historically sometimes there are resignations, movements, etc. And therefore in December of 2020 I put a similar report up. Some appointments were confirmed, some were changed. It's entirely up to the council.
Okay, that I'm now confused, because are the appointments we're doing now, are they for 4 years or for 2 years? Because it hasn't actually answered Councillor Fox's question.
Through you, Mayor. Sorry if I haven't provided the clarity. Let me be clear that it would be my recommendation and suggestion to Council that the appointments be for 2 years, and that mid-term I put a similar report up so that you can again go through the similar process.
So we would require an amendment to the recommendation that's here then, to say that the council resolves to appoint councillors to special committees of council and external organisations for a period of 2 years as follows. Okay, so they're 2-year appointments. If we can move to, if there are no further questions, we'll keep going through so that we can get through this and on to other business. Taz Water, myself as the nominee, and I'm looking for a proxy. Councillor Gladewright has indicated that she would be happy to be the Tazwater proxy as well, unless I have any other nominations Councillor Fox?
Yes, I would be interested.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for the Taswater proxy? Okay, so a ballot will be required for that one. We'll do that now. So your choices are Councillor Fox or Councillor Gladewright. And she's in the unfortunate position of not being able to vote for herself.
In that case, I won't vote for myself either, just to balance it out.
Well, there is nothing that you need. I mean, you don't feel obliged to. That's a very generous offer, but thank you. Could I have a voting paper, please? Thank you. I can't see without my glasses on these days. These are the easiest ballot papers you ever get to fill out. It's not like a Senate ballot paper. We'll just wait while Mr. Smee always gets the job of acting as the returning officer for this. Yes, General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. While the count is taking place, councillors. To save another question, the other thing that has happened recently is that the motion, once you've been through this process for every position, will also include that all the ballot papers be destroyed.
Yep, I've got that on my list too. Yep. Okay. The returning officer, Mr. Smee.
Councillor Fox Smee.
Thank you. We now move to Copping Refuse Site Joint Disposal Authority and Copping Sea Cell. So we're looking for a proxy there. Are there any nominees? Councillor Gladewright did nominate.
Okay, I'll nominate as well.
Okay, so we've got any other nominations? Otherwise we'll have a ballot. Your choices are Councillor Cordova or Councillor Gladewright. It's not quite as exciting as the lottery numbers being drawn, is it? Maltesers. A tied vote. We had a feeling this might happen this evening because we've got even numbers. We did discuss this earlier, what we might do in the event of a tied vote, and said we could try voting again, but otherwise it's literally a matter of drawing somebody out of a hat. Because do you want to try voting again? I mean,
is it possible to have two representatives?
No, because we also have the general manager as a proxy. Unfortunately not. I did ask earlier whether there was a captain's call or anything like that. General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, can I suggest that this was probably one of the main reasons why in 2018 it was decided that it would be appropriate to have a mid-term opportunity, because I suspect that it may well be that 2 years down the track, some of you may be looking for other opportunities and vice versa.
Okay. I'm at the disposal of the meeting here as to whether you'd like to vote again or draw from a hat. And I don't have Councillor Glade right here to offer me any words as a candidate. Councillor Antoli.
I'm happy to draw out of the hat if it's that tight.
Councillor Cordova, are you happy with that? Is everybody happy with that? It's very random, but... Okay. Mr. Smee, would you like to find a hat? This is like when you draw a raffle at a community event and one person in the room likes you for drawing them out and the other people don't because you didn't draw them as the winners. General manager.
Yeah. Councillor Cordova.
Councillor Cordova. Thank you very much. We move on to the Kingborough Advisory Committee. So I'm going to take these separately. So looking for a chair, I would like to nominate myself to continue to chair that. I've been the chair for 6 or 7 years. Are there any other nominees for chair? I won't be offended. Thank you. I'm looking for a nominee for deputy chair of the advisory committee, please. It's a wonderful committee. Yes. Councillor Fox?
I've done it for 20 years, but I'll be your deputy if
Thank
you need
you.
One.
That would be lovely. Thank you. No other nominees? We have a wonderful group of people on that committee. Okay, Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, looking for nominees for chair. Councillor Midgley nominating. Any further nominees for that? No? Thank you, Councillor Midgley. And I'm looking for a deputy chair of the Bike Committee. Nominees, please. I've got Councillor Dean. Any other nominees? No? Councillor Dean. Thank you very much. Channel Heritage Museum. Do I have a nominee for the Channel Heritage Museum? Councillor Antoli, nominating yourself? Yep. Any further nominees? Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Cycling South, Councillor Midgley, any other nominees? No, Councillor Midgley, thank you. Kingborough Community Enterprise Centre. I've got...
Just a question.
Yes.
Mayor, was there any information about when the regular meetings for that organisation... I did note the email that had all the other ones, but I just didn't see when the regular meetings for the Enterprise Centre are.
I've not ever been on it, so I couldn't tell you. Our last representative was Councillor Bastone, and she's not
Councillor
here.
Councillor Bastone, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't find her.
And the one before that was Councillor Chatterton, so... I think it's a daytime... thing.
And we assume bi-monthly or quarterly, it wouldn't be more regular than that, would it? Yeah.
So, I've got a feeling it's monthly. I think it's monthly. Yeah. Okay, so Councillor Gladewright has indicated a desire to be on that. Are there other nominations? No. All right, Councillor Gladewright. Kingborough Community Safety Committee. So first of all, I'm looking for a chair. Councillor Gladewright has indicated she would like to nominate for the chair of that. Are there any other nominations for chair? No? Okay, Councillor Gladewright. And then I'm looking for nominations for deputy chair. Councillor Bain, are there any other nominations? No? Thank you, Councillor Bain. Audit panel... I'm looking for two... So the audit panel has an independent chair, so just to clarify. So we're looking for two councillors for the audit panel. Councillor Antoli. Oh, we're going to have a few here, I think. Councillor Antoli, Councillor Fox, Councillor Bain, and Councillor Gladewright has also indicated. So we will need to seek an election for that. I thought it would be complicated. On separate bits of paper. You'll need two bits of paper. Yep. Yes.
And please reiterate who are the four that are standing.
So, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Fox, Councillor Bain and Councillor Gladewright.
Thanks.
Thank you. While they're being counted, we might move along to the Tasmanian Polar Network. Are there any nominations for that? We just need one representative. Councillor Cordova? Any other representatives? Any nominees? Nope, Councillor Cordova, thank you. So we just need to wait for the outcome of that and then we can put the motion. Congratulations. Thank you, Councillors Bain and Gladewright. Thank you to everyone who has nominated for committees. I now am looking for a recommendation. I'm just going to go through, so I'll be looking for a mover and a seconder for the recommendation, and I'll run through so we're all clear. For Local Government Association, it's myself and Councillor Gladewright. Taswater, myself and Councillor Fox, with the General Manager as a proxy. Copping Refuge Site Joint Disposal Authority and Copping CCL, myself and Councillor Cordova, with the General Manager as a proxy. Kingborough Access Advisory Committee, myself as Chair, Councillor Fox as Deputy Chair. Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, Councillor Midgley as Chair, Councillor Dean as Deputy Chair. Channel Heritage Museum, Councillor Antoli. Cycling South, Councillor Midgley. Kingborough Community Enterprise Centre, Councillor Gladewright. Kingborough Community Safety Committee, Councillor Gladewright as Chair and Councillor Bain as Deputy Chair. Audit Panel, two councillors, Councillor Bain and Councillor Gladewright, and Tasmanian Polar Network, Councillor Cordova. So I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for those motions, please. Moved Councillor Midgley, seconded Councillor Cordova. Oh, sorry, I thought those words were a bit, yep. So in the motion, external organisations for a period of 2 years. I'm getting to it. Yep. Thank you. I'll just put that, I'll do that as a separate motion. So, it was moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. I now need a motion that the ballot papers be destroyed. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. We turn now to page 11, Channel Football Club Rooms at Snug Oval, transfer of asset to council with a recommendation on page 12. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Antoli, a seconder in Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a great handing of the baton from an old era to a current one, and they're doing great work down there, and it's great to see the government has pitched in and helped upgrade the facility. So yeah, heartily recommend it. It's very generous of the Channel Football Club to offer it, and I highly recommend it. They're doing great work for the youth.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Any further discussion? No? If not, I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 16, new sublease to Snug Cricket Club Incorporated and the Channel Junior Football Club Incorporated at the Snug Oval, with a recommendation on page 17. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Cordova. Seconded, Councillor Midgley. Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. So we're looking here to approve the sublease for the Snug Cricket Club and the Channel Junior Football Club at the Snug Oval for the change rooms and club rooms. It's currently owned by the Crown and leased to the Kingborough Council. And so this request has come through for a transfer of ownership. We've actually already looked at the transfer of ownership of Snug Oval and the nearby Memorial Hall, and that was submitted to the Crown as and is expected to be approved. So this fits nicely in tandem with that, and I think it's a logical extension of that. And we've just actually talked about that at item 21 in this agenda. So the Snug Cricket Club and the Channel Junior Football Club have sought a new sublease from Council for a period of 5 years. What I think is very appealing about this is that Council will be providing, if this passes, a peppercorn rental would apply to the for the term of the sublease. The two clubs will undertake a seasonal rotation of using the Snug Oval facilities, and therefore the sublease takes the form of a tripartite agreement with the Council. The clubs have been using the facilities on an annual grounds usage agreement up until this point of time. I think it's a testament to Council's ability to lean in and help out local sporting clubs. They provide great health and wellbeing, as we all know, to our community, and they also develop a sense of place and a sense of identity, which I think is very good, particularly for young people, but of course for people of all ages as well. And I think this bodes well as a... Yeah, I think this is a good move and a logical extension to the previous agenda item, so I commend the motion. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox.
I have a question. That the term being 5 years, I'm wondering whether we should also offer an option of another 5 years, whether that's been considered.
Mr. Smee, are you able to assist with that?
Through you, Mayor, it wasn't requested. If Council was the mind to offer an option, that is there, bearing in mind that 5 years is the maximum term that we can grant for land that's classified as public land without having to go through what is quite a convoluted advertising through the Mercury to see if there's any objections and then considering those objections, etc. So, but an option is certainly something that could be entertained by Council if you so desire.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Are there any... Councillor Bain.
Very supportive of this. Just have a couple of questions. First one is, we're recommending this to go ahead, but on the previous agenda item it talks about undertaking a condition assessment. Just wondering if that has to be done before we go ahead and approve the lease.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, not necessarily. The condition assessment relates to the fact that Council will become the asset owner. The lease... I guess if the condition assessment found something that would indicate that the building cannot be occupied, then, yes, we would need to consider whether the lease could proceed. But given the club rooms have been occupied for many years without any obvious impediments to continued occupation, I don't believe that we should hold up the lease whilst that process takes place.
Councillor Bain, any
Yeah, just
questions?
A second question, and I gather this won't restrict anyone else using the Oval. Like, I know the annual scout and guide regattas on, I think, every annually in March. This won't restrict anyone else using the Oval.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, this relates specifically to the club rooms, and in fact, to tidy up the recommendation, it could actually specify that the lease is for the club rooms. As it reads at the moment, it perhaps is ambiguous.
Yeah.
So if the mover and seconder were to agree to include over the club rooms, I think that would tidy up that recommendation.
So, Councillor Cordova, you're happy. Councillor Midgley, is the seconder, are you happy? Thank you. We'll incorporate that. Councillor Bain, any further questions? No. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. So a question in regards to the club room. So if the clubs were identifying any upgrades or matters that they'd like to do works in regards to that, what is the process then?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. So the lease would specify the responsibilities of the lessee and of council. So the generally speaking, when we have leases with sporting clubs, council takes responsibility for the structural maintenance, for insuring the premises, for the depreciation of the asset, and the lessee takes responsibility for minor maintenance, cleaning and the like. So the lease would make clear a delineation between council and the club's responsibilities.
Thank you. Any further questions? Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up? No? If not, I will put the recommendation. It's slightly amended. It now reads that council approve by absolute majority a sublease over the club rooms to the Snug Cricket Club Incorporated and the Channel Junior Football Club Incorporated for a term of 5 years at a peppercorn rental. It was moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 19, community grants, with a recommendation on page 20. For the information of those watching, Councillor Cordova has declared a conflict of interest and will be leaving the room for this debate and not taking part. He has left the room at 6:41 p.m. I am looking for a mover and a seconder for the motion on page 20. I have a mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. The community grant program is a fantastic program of council and has been going for many years, and there's been many changes in regards to how the grants have been provided and different amounts over the years for new councillors. It is a really important part of the community for they can so people can apply for, noting that some of the new parts of the community grants are the quick response grants and the event support established events and the event support new major events. They're a new part of this community grant scheme, and I thank all the people that have put in the effort to apply, because it is a bit of a process of bringing different members of the community together. And as I declared, I had a conflict of interest. Well, I had the members of the Blackmans Bay Progress Community Association just let me know that the grant that they were applying for, but no other details really in regards to that. So as we can see the list on page, my page is different to everyone else's, I think, it's 27, from Adventure Bay Hall Committee, Friends of the Kingston Library for the Story Walk Project in Kingston, Woodbridge Cricket Club, the Edible Garden Trail by the Blackmans Bay Community Association. Anyone knows who I love gardening, it's probably why they contacted me about that one. And then the established events, we have a number of grants there.
You missed out Stitching and Beyond.
So I didn't read them all. I didn't think I'm to read all of them. Noting that the Kingborough Gymnastics, the Tasmania Senior State Championships, is a very worthwhile event, but it isn't recommended, doesn't form part of our grant guidelines, and we now have a new major event. And I guess my question around that one is, it's called a Hobart Model Train Show. Will they call it the Kingston Model Train Show when it comes to Kingborough?
I did have that thought as well. Dr. Fox.
We can certainly ask that they do that. So the event has been running in Glenorchy for a number of years, and they're bringing it to Kingborough. And that's expected to bring quite a lot of people to Kingborough, to our municipality. It's a very popular event, and so we're very excited to have the opportunity to bring it to Kingborough. We do want to work with them about how we're going to ensure that the benefits flow to Kingborough, that we get maximum visitation, but also maximum people coming to our shops and our businesses in Kingborough. So I can certainly talk to them about badging it as the Hobart and Kingborough, or the Kingborough Model Train Show, as part of our funding for that event.
Great, thank you. And does the event run over a weekend, or? I think I went years ago with my children.
I used to take my children every year. It would be, yes, all weekend, Saturdays and Sundays at the Derwin Entertainment Centre, it used to be.
I'm just having a look. Yes, it is expected to attract about 4,000 people over the weekend.
Great, thank you. So I recommend these for approval, and I hope that we have support around the table.
Thank you. I saw Councillor Antoli, you had your light on earlier.
I did, thank you, Mayor, but Dr. Fox has answered my question inadvertently, so thank you to her as well.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up?
No, thank you.
Thank you. It's moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried unanimously. If somebody could please let Councillor Cordova know that we are ready for him to come back to the room, and Councillor Cordova will... We do need him because he has a notice of motion. Councillor Cordova has returned to the room at 6:45pm. And on that note, I'll just wait for him to settle in. We now turn to page 22, Notices of Motion, and Councillor Cordova has submitted a Notice of Motion headed Workshop on Waste Reduction, and there is an Officer's Response from Mr Reeve. So, Councillor Cordova, do you wish to move that motion?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And do I have a seconder for that motion, please? And a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. In August of 2022, councillors were indeed provided with a presentation by the Section Head Waste Levy and Data from the Department of Natural Resources and Environment, formerly the EPA, on the Waste and Resource Recovery Act, followed by a presentation from representatives of Urban EP based in Melbourne. Councillors learned about the State Government's draft of the Waste Strategy required to be provided to the Minister by the 29th of September, which was 6 months from the commencement of that Act. And we also learned about the Waste and Resource Recovery Board, which was established on the 1st of July this year. We were told that the level of waste reduction within this first 3 years will be absolutely critical to how we go with any kind of carbon emissions reduction. So that's why I wanted to put this issue back on the agenda right now, early in this new term of council. Fully 40% of our councillors on our council did not attend that workshop, of course. They were not yet elected, and so they weren't privy to that information, and yet they will, like all of us, in the upcoming budget process, be required to make decisions that may or may not directly impact our ability to reach our climate change net zero carbon emissions target by 2035. Now, the pathway for Kingborough to reduce waste to landfill is, as we know, reduce food and kitchen waste, garden waste, paper and cardboard, other organic materials like nappies and animal waste, clothing and textiles and timber. We can expand and upgrade services delivered via the curbside and transfer stations. We can help the community change their behaviour. We can find opportunities to collaborate at a regional and state level with the Southern Tasmanian Waste Management Group. There's a whole bunch of things we can do in terms of diverting waste that's going to the wrong waste stream, putting it into the correct waste stream. But to achieve all of this, the councillors actually need a clear-eyed view of what this is all about. We all need to be on the same page. We need to know about that 35-page Kingborough Council Waste Avoidance and Reduction paper that six of the councillors know about but four do not. We need to know about the relationship between the climate change plan that Kingborough Council has and the 2017 Waste Management Strategy submission to Kingborough Council that was provided by MRA Consulting. Councillors need to know about Urban EP's work and specific milestones. And as councillors, we all need to have oversight to ensure that this work stays on track and is appropriately resourced. So we need to know if that state government draft waste strategy was indeed presented to the minister. We need to know if it was indeed shown to the public beforehand, as was the intention. We need to know how much money we expect to receive from the waste levy as a council and what we should expect to be asked to spend that money on in the future. Will that money, like with other pools of money, will it be left to accumulate for a certain amount of time before being spent? If that's the case, how long will that take, and how much money will we allow to accumulate from the waste levy before we start spending it? These are some of the things that a workshop will be able to identify. In my opinion, more important than the nuts and bolts of the state government and the regional body, that Southern Tasmanian Waste Management Group, more important than those initiatives, what I'd like out of a workshop early in this new term is to alert councillors on this council to our specific initiatives and what are the funding requirements that we expect. What are the elements that are currently funded and for how long are they funded? Should we expect funding requests in order to progress this work at budget time? If so, let's make those expectations clear now so that there won't be any kind of sticker shock or any kind of expectation management issues, so that all councillors, when we get to budget time, we actually know what's going on with waste. Because fundamentally, 93% of all Kingborough Council's carbon emission equivalent is coming from waste to landfill. So that's a really key piece of the puzzle for us to meet our net zero emissions target by 2035. We actually have to tackle waste. It's the single biggest piece of the puzzle, and I think all councillors would benefit from knowing about that and knowing what council's already doing and what the councillors will be asked of when it comes to budget time in order to achieve that meaningful climate action. So the workshop in August of 2022 was useful, but now we have nearly half of the councillors are new, and the workshop last time did not tell us how much money the council is expected to pay in order to achieve our targets. How much do we need to invest, by when, which elements are currently funded and for how long? These are the kinds of information that a workshop could tell us. Last time, the workshop didn't tell us what those budget expectations will be, and I think going around the table now, you know, if we were to hold the budget workshop tomorrow, what would we actually expect to spend on waste? Would it be 10,000? Would it be a million? Would it be nothing? We actually don't yet know, and that's, I think, what a workshop could achieve, or what I hope a workshop to achieve. So I really hope that I've made clear the fact that this won't necessarily be a duplication of what the six of us councillors who are incumbents already know, but it may very well cover some of that ground. But most importantly, it's about putting this issue firmly on the agenda at the early part of council. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Are there any further speakers on the motion? Can I just, while you're thinking about whether you want to speak, just say that probably I appreciate the intent of the motion. I have been regularly asking councillors by email if they would like to suggest workshop topics. So probably in the interests of time for everyone, a simple request to me, and I'm certainly going to email out to all existing and new councillors for some suggestions on what you would like to have for workshop topics in the new year. We only have one unallocated slot between now and Christmas that we could possibly hold this on, and that would be the 28th of November, given that we have the sporting fees one that will require two parts. So can I just suggest, for ease of things moving forward, if you do have a workshop you would like to hold, you just need to send me an email, and I will be emailing out regularly for suggestions. Having said that, this was certainly going to be a topic of induction for the new councillors, because I'm very conscious of the fact that we have 40% new members. And so we are working on identifying a date that would work with all four, given their various work commitments. So that was certainly going to form part of that, as well as providing access to the overheads that were provided by the participants at that workshop. Certainly we wouldn't be looking to repeat it in terms of bringing the consultants back from Victoria. I don't think we need to put them on a plane and further add to greenhouse gas emissions by putting them on a plane, I wouldn't have thought. No, probably not. But there will be access to those overheads and so on. And then I'm at the will of councillors as to those, if you would like to lock this in, but as I said, there's only one opportunity to have that and to have this before the end of the year. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I thank you for reminding us about the process regarding our ideas for budget workshop ideas. I do support this. It is important to have in time for budget deliberations, which I understand are happening from different committees and things like that. So it is important that councillors are briefed of the full picture, noting that we do have a zero emissions net target. But in regards to when we do send you emails for your requests about workshops, what's the accountability in regards to that? Like, do we get to see what other councillors put forward, and is there a list, or like, do we see what gets ticked off and things like that? I'm just wondering the process.
Last time I only had two responses. It wasn't an overwhelming number of responses. There were only two.
My long list.
And we accommodated as many of those as we could in the period of time that we had left of that council before we went into caretaker mode. So certainly it's something that we would discuss with General Manager. I mean, we've got to have a workshop that's relevant to the work that council does, not just a workshop for the sake of having a workshop on a topic that is your passion, because if we did that, we'd be talking about cats, for example, every week, even though that is work of council, cat management. But, you know, we need to keep focused. We only have so many workshops that we can accommodate, so we need to be using that time wisely. It's not only our time, but the time of our staff as well in preparing for those workshops and being back at the end of the day to present them as well.
Okay, so further question on that in regards to, it's getting a bit off the motion, you can call point of order if you wish, but say, for example, that if it didn't, if there was a workshop or perhaps a discussion around, say, cycling, one of my favourite things, from like Bicycle Network or Mary McFarlane, that like wouldn't be a workshop necessarily, could then there be other topics of interest if we invite special guests? Or is that
We have done that in the past. I'm trying to think of examples, perhaps like the last time we had a grouping that would have been to do with the Twin Ovals. We've had, when we did the Surf Life Saving Club DA, we had presentations on that. So we do from time to time obviously invite external parties in, but once again it's got to be relevant to our decision making and all the work of council and be able to be held in a way that doesn't unduly cause additional work for our staff. So, yeah, thank you. I then had Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Bain. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to Councillor Cordova for his enthusiasm. For me, I'm quite persuaded by the Director of Engineering's response, by the work that's already been put into it, and also by what you said, Mayor, a moment ago, that we have only a limited number of workshops ahead and there's a lot of work ahead. So I personally feel this is too much looking in the rearview mirror instead of forward, so it's of no particular interest to myself.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question. If this motion goes ahead, are we committing to having this workshop before Christmas, or are we committing to putting this on a list of potential workshops?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Bain, we tentatively have run out of workshop spaces between now and the end of the year. At the moment, we have a workshop scheduled for the 14th to discuss the landscape conservation zone. On the 28th, we were going to discuss sports user fees, and on the 14th of December, we were going to follow the 28th's workshop by inviting in some of the user groups. It's always a juggling act with workshops, we're nearing the end of a calendar year.
Further questions, Councillor Bain? Perhaps if I can just add to a comment that Councillor Midgley made about needing to be informed ahead of the budget deliberations. We're well off having our first budget workshop, so there's no urgency to have this prior to Christmas. Whilst we start to provide items before the end of the year for capital projects, the sort of recurrent funding projects, we generally get asked in about January, February to put items forward, then they are discussed at our half-day budget workshops in around March. So there is no urgency to have this prior to the end of the year, just so that you can be aware of that. Councillor Dean.
Just a question. Are we able to access the non-councillors who weren't present, the recording as well as the overheads that you mentioned previously?
Not the recording, because that recording was for a previous council, but certainly all the overheads will be provided. Okay, so Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up? Councillor Fox, I didn't realise you had your light on.
I'm just mindful of the fact that this is part of the climate change issue and that we've lost Mr Dool, who has retired. I don't think he's been replaced yet, but when...
Liz Quinn took over straight away Dool's retirement.
I would think that maybe the bigger picture of climate change coming from her might be a better topic, and that would also include waste reduction, but there are some. It's such a broad issue. It's not just one thing. There are so many things that we're doing, and that council's leading the way in, and it needs to be communicated to the community. So I feel this is only part of that picture. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Certainly, workshops aren't an opportunity to communicate to the community because they're internal. The discussions are internally focused. But we do, for example, report in our annual report that we've just noted tonight about the achievements in relation to climate change area and all the different things that we are undertaking. And I think we should be very proud of the fact that we are very much leading the way and have been for some time, and that is largely to the credit of Mr. Dool, who was a very early adopter and believer in climate change and is recognised for having done significant work. Thank you. Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up?
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's been a robust debate and a good one. As we kind of talked about, we need to really figure out whether Council's waste avoidance and reduction program is just chugging along. Is it a set and forget kind of thing, in which case that's fine, or if there are asks that will emerge at budget time, then councillors really need to be across this issue, and the overhead slides really actually don't cut it. They're basically just, you know, speaking points, dot points. They actually have no context, and they really don't make sense unless you have somebody talk you through it. If there was a budget workshop tomorrow, is there an expectation that councillors will need to make decisions relating to actually funding waste reduction and avoidance? If so, what are they, how much and when? I reiterate the debates around the table that actually it does not need to happen before Christmas, of course. It just needs to happen before the budget, so it needs to happen probably before March, April of next year. This will give an opportunity to both new and returned councillors a clear view of what decisions they will likely be called upon to make with respect to waste reduction in terms of budgeting. And importantly, the reason why I brought it to the council is that this, rather than just sending an email to the mayor, which I do appreciate I could have done, is because I want to make it clear to the community and give the community confidence that this council takes waste reduction seriously and reaffirm our commitment as a council in the public eye to meeting our council's widely publicised climate action targets. And I do take Councillor Fox's point that it's a broad issue, but taking, for example, the streetlights, which we switched out to LEDs, that was 1.6% of our carbon emissions, whereas 93% of our carbon emissions is waste to landfill. So that's why this is a topic of discussion. That's why this needs to have a workshop. And that's why I really want to progress this early in our term of council to show the community that we mean business when it comes to waste reduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I'm going to put the motion now, moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Okay, a show of hands is required. All those in favour? Is Councillors Fox, Cordova, Dean and Midgley. Those against is Councillors Antoli, Bain, Richardson and Reet. So the motion is lost. But there will be an induction session for the new members in relation to that issue, please be assured. This brings us to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. We have confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, tender assessment AB2205, council office cleaning contract, provision of traffic management services and Kingborough Community Awards 2023. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. A mover in Councillor Antoli, seconder in Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. So this ends the open session of tonight's council meeting. Our members of the public gallery have left. Thank you very much to the residents who have been watching along at home on YouTube. We appreciate that. And if you do have questions on notice, as I said earlier, you can send them to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. So the open session of council adjourned at 7:03 p.m.